I'm going to do a cheesy intro, and okay. You sure you don't want to beatbox for it or something? You can beatbox, right?
No, I'm not going to do that.
That would be so.
But I will listen as you intro.
That would be so much more often if you all right. Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the Vigilance Press Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and with me is my frequent co-host, Mr. and Internet Celebrity, Mr. Dan Houser.
Hey.
Hey, good to have you back.
It's good to be back, man. We're in the pre-Gen Con weeks, so I'm like... whatever. Everything is always busy now.
Yeah. I'd be going to Gen Con myself. I still have some warrants attending in Indiana. But I understand you will be there.
Yes, I will. Like clockwork, I am at Gen Con. You can see me at the Adamant booth. I will actually be there on Friday and Saturday. I'll be assisting at the booth and signing icons and talking with people about superheroes and doing all kinds of fun stuff. I'm also going to probably be running a game, but it's a very special game at Gen Con. I don't know. Are we saying too much about that yet?
If
we're gonna hold off, because I mean, I'll do another podcast and we'll talk all about it. Listen, audience, there's going to be an announcement soon, and it's going to be so rad, your brain will melt. Okay, I'll just say this: it involves icons, it involves rad things, and maybe a gorilla, and Nikola Tesla.
Like,
none of those things were a lie.
We like things that are rad. We do not like things that are not rad.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome, but we can't talk about it just yet. But okay.
Well, but I am going to be running a game or two of Icon at Gen Con.
Excellent. And, hey, before we got started, Dan was just telling me that apparently his art is hanging up at Kevin Smith's house.
Not at Kevin Smith's house. At the Smod Castle. It's the theater in LA. They did this call for an open call for artwork. And they asked for a print of a picture I did of Kevin Smith. It was the one. It's from his the podcast on with him and Scott Mosier talking. Well, it's him and Brian Johnson talking about if he got super super fat. And he's talking about this scene where basically he's describing a scene where he's so fat that he lives alone and Brian Johnson has to take care of him, and he sleeps on hay and he's naked indiscriminately, and it's so. Me using my talents that I have, which is drawing and such, I made a nice cartoon of Kevin Smith in full regalia peeing all over himself. I sent it to them. And everything. And it now hangs in the Smod Castle.
You know, Dan, I wish you told me exactly what kind of picture that was before we entered that segment. Okay,
whatever. Listen, spoiler alert, he's peeing on himself. And it's pretty horrible. Like, I mean, it's all in good-natured fun, but still, it's a pretty horrible picture. I can't believe they asked for it. I even felt bad doing it. As I'm painting it, I tell my wife, honey, don't come in here. You don't want to see what I'm doing right now. And she's like, and then she'd heard the podcast before, so when she saw that, she goes, that's hilarious. I'm like, yeah, but now I feel like I'm making fun of him. You know, and it's totally not that. He loved it. In fact, they did a podcast about the artwork before that, and I was like, oh, man, I've been drawing comics of his Smodcast and little pictures of his Smodcast since I heard about it. But anyway, that was just, yeah, I was telling Mike about that before the show started. And
I
was out of the air. I was like, okay.
So, hey, we're talking about Dan's naked fan art that he does for Kevin Smith.
Nude. Like covered in urine.
Oh, God. How do we recover from this?
Covered in urine. I got a new book coming out tomorrow.
Tell us all about this book, Dan.
Yeah, actually, it's not really a book. It's just, you know, it's one of the supplements that I'm doing for Icons called An Age Thrilling Action by amazing Joe Bardalis. He is writing all of these. He's amazing. I'm probably pronouncing his last name wrong because I only ever write it. And when I hear it in my head, it sounds like asparagus, so I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
I think it actually is Bardalis. We had him on a GMing a session that I think you couldn't make because you're busy being famous on the Internet, but it was a lot of fun.
I'm busy being famous... we're drawing stuff now.
Oh, yeah. We're actually demoing one of your products a couple podcasts ago.
Which one?
I believe it was Amazing Action 2 with the claw.
Yes. That was a fun one. That was a fun one. In fact, I got started on this because I saw that there are a couple different products that use public domain supers. And while I liked the products, they weren't for Icons. And I was like, well, Icons need stuff. And who's going to make it if I don't? Joe already had an awesome, like, he's been one of the bigger like supporters of Icons than I've ever seen. And then he had a whole blog about this. I'm like, this cat should be making money on these.
Just Add Heroes at blogspot.com.
exactly right. Go there. And in fact, if you want to see any of the stats for any of the stuff we created, we will be releasing the stats of the characters and stuff. I mean, the supplements do add a couple things. We add like a little combat scene for the hero and the villain to kind of slug it out, or you can kind of expand it to your home group to fight the villains. This tomorrow's release is going to be the Fighting Yank versus Blitz. The Fighting Yank was kind of a Captain America slash Superman character. He's a very ultra-patriotic character. And the Blitz is a Nazi caveman with frost control powers.
That is so awesome.
It was back in the day, man. Golden Age. It was just like, we have a dartboard full of powers and well, actually, a big portion of that dartboard said the word Nazi. Because if you're just, in the 40s, man, you were always punching a Nazi in the face. Like, yeah, he kidnapped a girl. And it turns out he was a Nazi to boot. Of course he was. Of course. Because there were no other villains at all. Even the Klopp. They're not.
There are other villains. We don't want to talk about the, you know. They were a little racist in some cases.
Dude, the Claw?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of racist. Yeah. Kind of racist. But we've kind of drawn the poison out of those wounds by making them more accessible to a modern audience. I've also kind of updated the artwork a little bit on them. I didn't want to modify their characters past what you recognize, which most people wouldn't recognize them unless I told them who they were. But if you look at them and you look at the covers and say, okay, I see what they've done here. They've just made them look like somebody who'd be in a comic book today.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
And Daredevil, the first Daredevil, who was the master of the boomerang, was it the second one.
That was actually who I played in the podcast.
Nice.
And we were so looking forward to you, but I think you were busy getting manicures with all the other famous RPG artists. You were doing something you couldn't make. It was a shame. We poured out a fee for you.
Me and Rick Hershey were getting bitches.
That's exactly what I thought you were doing, actually.
Well, it was bitches and hoes, but I don't want to brag.
You guys were probably cruising on the strip in your 4-4, just jocking the, you know, something and slapping the something else. And that's what I always figured RPG artists did in your free time.
Free time. That's a concept that has eluded me.
Yeah, it's free time artists now, ladies and gentlemen. There isn't much free time.
Luckily, I could just turn on my television here with Netflix and just... And now that Netflix... Oh, my goodness. Everybody out there, if you have Netflix now, you already know this, but if you don't have Netflix, get it. Because now if you use Netflix on your PS3 or Xbox, Netflix will automatically play the next episode of a TV show.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah, you'd think it wouldn't be something that you'd go, wow, that's an innovation. But it is. It totally is. Although now it'll ask you like 3 episodes in, are you still watching this show? It's like having a wife. Because she'll do that to me sometimes. I'll watch Reno 911 like 6 up. Are you still watching this? And I have to press, yes.
Well, there's kind of some shame there sometimes because there's certain shows like, are you still watching Knight Rider? Yeah, shut up.
Yeah.
What was it when I was a kid?
Dude, when they get $6 Million Man on there, my house is going to be na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na all afternoon.
I was watching for a while, Archer.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, I'd like to make a show like that. That was a lot of fun. So, hey, speaking of people who make things, Dan, you have a Kickstarter you want to pimp, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Me and Lee Newman Lee Newman wrote a children's book, which is for free. You can actually read it on drive-thru. It's called Creepy Kitchen. So it's basically a long-form poem for kids. It describes a narrator walking through a creepy kitchen where all of the utensils are monsters, like the classic movie monsters, like Dracula and Frankenstein and that. So when I saw this, I was like, man, you need artwork for this? And he's like, sure. And I'm like, let's do it. And so I've got the cover done and all the character sketches and stuff. If you want to check it out, I can give you the Kickstarter page for it.
Yeah. You can just go Kickstarter and just search for Creepy Kitchen, and you guys are probably the one hit.
It's Kickstarter.com/projects/Miskatoniac, like Miskatonic, but with an A, Miskatoniac/Creepy-Kitchen.
Or if you just say Creepy Kitchen, you literally are the only project with that name. And
sure. Awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of unique. And so, yeah, it's written by Lee Newman with art by Dan Hauser. Turnover is $4,500. You guys are just shy of 700 right now, it looks like.
Yep.
So.
Yep, we have 14 backers. There's lots of cool stuff you can get with it. One of the great things is going to be in the book, you'll actually get a portrait done in the kind of style, if you've ever been to the Haunted Mansion at Disney, it'll be kind of like that, where you'll have kind of a creepy portrait of yourself or your kid or whoever you want. Dogs, cats, whatever. If you have somebody that you'd like to see in the Creepy Kitchen book, we'll definitely put them in there.
And some of the interesting characters Dan has drawn for this book are Count Spatula. Teaspoon from the Black Lagoon, The Whisk Wolf, and those are just the first three I see on the Kickstarter page.
Yep.
So.
Oh, man, there's one that, two of my favorites are, if you go to the updates page, you can see a couple of them, but The Crummy, which is like the mummy, but it's a toaster. Just the look on his face is awesome, like, so forlorn. And then I also did Dr. Forkenstein.
Oh, the Crockmas Monster and The Crummy. Oh, yeah, Dr. Forkenstein and Dr. Forkenstein's Monster.
It's pronounced Forkenstein.
Thanks, Dan. I really wish we weren't pimping this on the same podcast where we just talked about your naked Kevin Smith self-urination art.
Ah, bah, bah, bah. Look, if you're buying these for kids, don't tell them that I drew a picture. In fact, okay, let's just not talk about that later on. I mean, you don't tell your kids that this was pee-pee art before it was kids' art. What kind of monster are you?
Well, I don't have any kids right now, Dan. I'm just...
Not you, the audience. Right now, I'm admonishing them for imagined crimes against children.
Okay.
All right. Before this becomes like a, kind of an arch Andy, what's his name sketch, let's just, you know, hold off on calling the audience monsters. They're not monsters, but don't tell them I drew PP on Kevin Smith. Okay?
Okay. Hey, on that happy note, why don't we move on to character generation? We had some folks request a manual. Character generation for icons.
Sure, sure.
So why don't we try doing that? You got your book handy?
I have like 1,000 of them handy. Go, give me just a sec here.
Okay.
They're nearby. They're not in my hand, but I guess I should have one tattooed on the inside of my eyelid so I can see every page always.
Well, I haven't had mine open. So, yeah, we had a request from a podcast listener to do a manual icons character generation. So I'll tell you what, let's start off the first, you know, we're on page... Cha-cha-cha 10 of the rule book.
Yep.
And you roll a 2d6. And on the Wizards of the Coast die roller, I rolled a 7. And that results in a birthright hero. The hero was born with or destined to develop superhuman powers. The character gains your choice of one additional power, which should be innate, not a device, or plus 2 to a rolled power level. So, that's cool.
Yeah. Now, give an example. Who would you give an example of a birthright hero?
Boy, I'm thinking Wonder Woman.
Who was that?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman is definitely a good example. I personally would say Starman.
Oh, okay. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, I could see that. All right, so we got that on the origin table. Now we're moving on to level determination.
Well, that's for your stats.
Yeah.
But we also roll for your number of powers in phase 3.
Okay, I'm on phase 2 right now.
Oh, sorry, phase 2? There we go.
Okay, phase 2. Roll once and level determination for each ability and record the result. All right, so it would be really handy right here is if we had a list of all the abilities, because then you could just look at them. Hey, there they would be.
Give me a sec and I'll have them. I'll pull up a handy-dandy icons character folio.
Which we're not using this time, but hey, it's a hell of a tool, and maybe everyone should go out and buy it, because Daniel Gallant's a hell of a guy. He's a
Absolutely. Seat. Daniel Gallant designed it, put blood, sweat, tears, hair, other things that the CSI could catch him for if he got caught doing something bad later on into this. And the stats are prowess, coordination and strength, intellect, awareness, and willpower.
Okay, so let's... Cut and paste that over here into my little thing. And it didn't work at all, did it? No, it didn't. Okay, let's just copy text from over there. And over here. Okay. This is a kind of scintillating entertainment that keeps you coming back to the Vamp podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly right.
Okay, so we're doing level determinations. So 2d6 roll, see what we come up with. And going back to the Wizards of the Coast die roller. And, hey, I can't navigate. There we go. Okay. And so... Reset, roll 2d6, and I get a 6. Just plain 6. And
yep.
Hey, that's a 4.
Yes. Now, keeping in mind that a 3 is right around human average,
mm-hmm.
and a 6 is human maximum.
Okay. So, let me go over here. So, 6 for prowess, and then I get a 7 on 2d6 for coordination.
Yeah, that's a 5.
That's a 5, okay.
Highly coordinated. Someone who's like a trained martial artist, like Hawkeye, okay. might have a 5. Or maybe more, considering he has he has that bow, but I would consider his prowess to be better than his... Well, no, it would be his coordination because he uses ranged attacks.
Okay, and I got...
I imagine his coordination would be like 7.
Yeah, I got a 6 again for...
Okay.
That's another 5 for strength. Wow, this guy is... he's no slouch. Okay, resetting, rolling another 2d6, and we got a 3. So that's my dump stat, apparently. Intellect, of course.
Okay.
So that'll be a 2. He's not very bright, this fellow.
No.
Okay, and let's roll another one, 2d6, and just a, wait a second, that ain't right, reset, 2d6, roll, okay, there we go, 8. So, that's 8 for awareness, so...
That's a 5?
That's a 5. Then, willpower, that's what we're rolling for now, that's 2d6, roll, and another 8. What are the chances? So, wow, this guy came out awfully consistent, except for that horrible 2 in intellect. So, okay, powers. I'm going to roll for powers on phase 3 on page 11. So, another 2d6 roll. We'll see what we come up with. So, reset. Put the 2 in 2d6. Roll, and I got 6.
6. That means you have 3 powers.
3 powers.
Because you have a birthright, one of your powers will have a plus 2, or you'll have an additional power, whichever you want. At the table, at most games that I've run, most folks will want to wait until they've rolled up their powers to determine whether or not they want an extra one or if they want to add something to theirs. So I advise to wait to make that decision until after you've rolled your powers.
Okay, well, and let's roll powers. Okay, first roll the... Okay, so it's 2d6. So let's plug that bad boy in. 2d6 and roll, and we got a 5, which means...
A control power.
Okay. Do we go ahead and roll... For control, or do we just come back to that, or something that probably be just a roll at the time?
Yeah, we do it down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So your next roll is on the control powers table on the same page.
Okay, cool. And
we roll 1d6 and then a second d6.
Okay, so let's reset. Our first d6 is a 2.
Okay.
And our second d6 is a 5.
So you have alteration ray.
Oh, that's kind of fun. Okay. So. Alteration, right? Did we ever roll for levels of powers?
As soon as you have your powers set up, because again, you get, like, after that,
mm-hmm.
before you roll, what we do with it, like, again, this is just stuff that I do when I'm running the game at the table. I have them roll the power, the type of power, all set, and then I have them roll the power levels. Then I have them determine what their origin gives them as far as the bonuses and things like that.
Okay, so level determination is what we did just for abilities, and we can do it for powers now, do it for powers later. Okay, well,
right.
Total number of powers you said was 3, so let's do 2 more and see where we're at, and we'll roll for the levels on that. So we clear, and roll the first d6 is again a 2, second d6 is again a 4.
Oh, okay, so that's a total of 6.
Mm-hmm.
So you have defensive as your power type.
Okay.
The second power.
Okay, second power is defensive, and I roll 2d6, so the first d6 is again a 2, second d6 okay. again a 4. What are the chances of that?
Invulnerability, man.
Wow, okay. This guy's coming out, turning out okay. Okay, so we got one last one to do. So let's reset, roll 2d6,
mm-hmm.
and I get a 10.
A 10, offensive power.
Okay, cool. So we'll roll 1d6, and I get a 3 on the first d6,
mm-hmm.
and a 6 on the next d6.
Strike.
Oh, okay, well, that's not bad. Okay, alteration. This is actually a pretty balanced character. I have defense, offense, and some kind of
mm-hmm.
tricky alternate thing. Let's go ahead and roll for levels and see if we want to roll for another one or just something else. So.
Sounds good.
Okay, so 2d6, and we roll, and we get a 4.
Okay, that's a power level 3. Alteration ray is a 3.
Alteration ray is a 3. And moving on down, let's do another 2d6. For invulnerability, that's a 7.
That's a 5?
That's a 5. Wow, that's pretty tough in this game.
It sure is.
Okay, resetting and rolling the 2d6 for strike. Got a 9.
A 9? That's a 6.
Wow, this guy's pretty bad. Okay, cool. So, another question is, do I want to get another power, or do I want to put a plus 2 on one of these powers?
Yep.
What do you think, Dan?
I think another power wouldn't do poorly here. I mean, you've got a strike ability. I mean, there's always a chance you can get a ranged ability.
Okay, then let's reset, and we're going to roll 2d6 to get see what kind of power we get.
And yep.
Roll a 6.
A 6 will give you another defensive power.
Oh, do you want to reroll?
No, that's fine. There's a whole list of defensive powers you can get.
Okay, so we roll 1, first d6 is a 6, second d6 is also a 6.
So a 6 and a 6 on your defensive powers, you have resistance.
Hmm.
Let's go, because I'm sure, unless you're following along in the book, you may not know what that power does.
I believe that you got to pick some kind of damage, and you have, you know, this effect, you know. Here we go. You're especially resistant to a particular type of effect. Choose one of the following: affliction, binding, blinding, cold, corrosive, electricity, heat, magic attacks, mental attacks, radiation. Subtract your resistance level from the level of any such effect. The level is reduced to 0 or less. It doesn't work on you at all. So, we need to choose one of those. I wish there was a table we could roll, because I'm just enjoying rolling tables right now. But
What page is the resistance descriptor on?
Page 43.
There's afflictions 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So there's 10 of them. So if you roll on the first power level chart,
mm-hmm.
you have a 1 through 8 array,
mm-hmm.
or you can...
Or I could just roll a d10.
Yeah.
Or I could just say magic, because resistance to magic is fun.
That works.
Okay. So we'll do that, and then we're going to roll for what power level. That's 2d6. Let's see what power level it's going to be.
Yep.
I have a 9.
A 9. Let's go up one page. A 9 gets you a power level 6 resistance to magic.
Okay. So, all right, cool. So, that's what we've got so there so far for abilities and powers. Number of specialties.
Yep. That's 2d6 again.
Phase 4, rolling 2d6. 5.
You gain 2 specialties.
Okay. Okay. So I get to select 2 specialties from those described on
correct. Specialties. Or 1 specialty at a higher level.
Okay.
From the basic level of the specialty.
All right, so we'll go to specialties, and once again, I wish I could roll on this. This guy's kind of like a scientist to me, so I'm going to take science at, I can take him at an expert level if I only choose one, right?
Sure.
Okay, then we're going to take science.
Science again. Awesome.
Science! Okay, so we get that going on. Back to hero creation. We just finished specialties. Phase 2, stamina and background. Okay, stamina is your willpower plus your strength.
Correct.
In this case, that's going to be a 5 plus a 5. Holy shit, it's a 10. Okay.
Nice.
And determination. Let's see. Okay, well, you know what? Let's just do the mechanical before we start doing the other. Well, actually, I guess we should stick with the way Mr. Stevenson wrote it, because he's a genius, and we're just Dan and Mike.
Exactly right.
All
right,
background. As determining your hero's abilities, come up with a background description of what you think your hero is like. In particular, consider the hero's place of origin, childhood, ethnic background. How did the hero acquire superhuman powers? Or how do elements of the hero's background provide motivations and challenges for the hero in the present? Look to incorporate these things into your hero's aspects. See Phase 6.
Okay. Also, because you're a birthright character, your magical power is innate
mm-hmm.
and can't be disabled by a device. It's not like a device can be taken away from you.
So that's that plus 2 from birthright. Thanks for remembering
that. Yep.
Okay. Per birthright. Okay, cool. So, Dan, I just know from experience that you get character concepts the way other people get, you know, sneezes. So, anything speaking to you about this character?
Well, let me take a look real quick at something. What I'm doing now is looking up Alteration Ray, just to see what it does. You still have to choose roll a d6 to determine what kind of alteration power.
Okay. Reset. Roll d6. Got a 6.
A 6? Transformation Ray. Transform a target into a different shape, like a use of transformation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there another roll to get the exact effect of that transformation, or do you have to pick something?
Well, let's take a look.
Alteration powers.
Okay.
Where is Alteration Ray? Is that in a... That's a Thunder Offensive?
Yep.
Okay. No, it's not there under Offensive.
Hmm. Transformation. Ah, you can transform into other things, animals or other characters' objects, although you retain your normal mass. So it's kind of like Plastic Man. You can turn people in, or, well, you can turn physical properties of the assumed form. If it's a ray, I'm guessing you can't, you can only turn, well, you must have a limitation on your transformation power. You're limited to, you're either limited to turning into a particular type of shape, your beam, such as only animals, machines, humanoids, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You do not, the transformed thing does not gain the physical properties of the forms, just their appearance. So you can turn them into something that looks like a brick wall, but it's not as strong or tough as one. You have a tell that's always apparent, such as an inability to change color or texture, like Plastic Man. He always looks like Plastic Man, even when he's turned into a plane or a car.
Okay, so I have a gun that turns people into something.
Yep.
Help me out then here, Dan. Lizards?
That's interesting. Why lizards?
Because I was thinking he was a scientist. But, and I don't know why that's making me think of lizards, but we could take chinchillas or sugar gliders, too. You know.
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay.
Turns them into water.
Okay. All right.
I mean, he's already invulnerable. And he can be like a device or something that he has that makes him invulnerable. But his alteration ray will turn somebody into water. They can still move around. They're not dead. But they just are now water instead of a solid form that can hurt him.
Okay, and how long would that last, you think?
Your power level gives you kind of an idea of the amount of time that it takes. That's the thing. Transformation is a self power.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, that's concentration, I guess. So it's like however long you want it to have happen. I would say that your power level on the time chart tells you how long it is.
And where's the time chart?
For
the listeners at home.
Yep, I'm going to take a look real quick. Here we go. There's a time chart under post-cognition that I like to use for things like this. Although that is kind of large.
Oh, yeah, that's really large.
Yeah, that's kind of a wide gap there.
I'm going to say if I change someone into living water, are they living water until they do a willpower test?
Well, until they beat it, yeah. Until they beat your power level.
Okay.
Or you change them back.
Okay. So
and you're not just going to drink people water and leave and that's it.
Yeah.
I win. Sorry, Joker.
Okay, so it lasts as long as like a transformation power would last. So.
Yep.
One of the physical properties, the form up to your transformation power level. Turning into people doesn't need their powers for that. For convincingly, transformation powers must have limitation. All right, so. Okay, well, that's cool. I wonder if, like, shrinking. Shrinking is the same way. All right, so we're going to say, well, I kind of wish, maybe we should have Steve on to ask him a question, but, we're going to say basically if you do this to, an enemy until they get a willpower. Although, come to think of it, if only the GM rolls, how would that work?
Well, I don't roll any dice.
Well, I'm sorry. Only the players roll. GM doesn't roll an icon.
Yep, I don't ro't roll dice.
Yeah.
I'm too good for that. No, in the case of yours where you change them into something, like you change them into living water, I would say it's until I decide to give you a determination for them turning back.
Okay.
For some reason. But if it's like a thug or like just a low level guy, I would say it works, and that's it. Or you can even put the limitation doesn't work on organic things, so you can do awful things like turning their clothes to water, their weapons to water.
Okay, that's cool. And it still kind of looks
like pay to water.
Yeah. We would need to be careful with this because this might, I'm not taking someone's powers away. I'm just changing their physical form into water.
Right.
So it's not like I'm saying, Superman, now you're just a puddle and can't do anything. I'm saying...
No, Superman, you're now you're made of water.
Yeah.
You have that in addition to being able to fly. You're super strong. But your punches are just super strong water, which would really suck. I mean, like getting hit with a fire hose.
Well, I'm having some trouble seeing, the use.
I don't know. Water just came to my mind first. I mean, you can turn them to stone, I guess.
Yeah.
So that would be really beneficial to them. Transforming them into animal forms is probably cool. Like chimps.
Chimps.
Or apes, even.
It's a chimp gun. Chimps,
yeah.
In a chimp form.
Dr. Chimpo.
Yeah, that's actually just kind of fun. I mean, they might, you know, Okay, let's go with that.
Dr. Marvin Moreau.
Marvin Moreau.
Yeah, not Marvin Monroe from The Simpsons, but Moreau. You know, he had all those hybrid animals and stuff.
Yeah, like the Alan Dr. Moreau from... Okay, gotcha. Okay, Marvin Moreau. See, this is what's great about him. He has these character concepts that just come out of nowhere, and you're like, damn, okay. All right, so Alteration Ray, that can turn you into a chimp. Invulnerability, 5. Strike, 6. And he's resistant to magic.
You turn him into a chimp and just punt them. Well, I know that you retain all of your abilities, but I'm going to kick that chimp across the room. Pow! Yay! Victory for Dr. Chimpo!
But they keep their mask.
Dude, you're a villain. This is not a superhero we've just made up. I'll punch you in your little chimp face after I turn you into a chimp with my chimp ray.
What if he's doing it to bank robbers? Guys wearing domino masks and you know, news.
So they can become chimps with domino masks. They'll become super intelligent Clydes from Any Which Way But Loose.
Mm. Might be trying to turn them all into a really neurotic playboy billionaire. They made them all into Howard Hughes. This is a Howard Hughes ray.
Hmm. It's not an affliction. You could just get to change your physical property. Turn them into Jell-O. There's always room for Jell-O. And I think turning them into chimps is really good.
Okay.
Like the chimp ray is awesome.
Okay.
I mean, imagine that. Like, I am Darkseid. You're a chimp. Pew, pew, pew. Nah. Ooh, ah.
Okay, so
I want to destroy you, and I want a banana.
So he's maybe not the most effective superhero, except for, well, he's got invulnerability 5, strike a 6. Yeah, so who is
the head of people left and right with that strike a 6, and you're invulnerable. It's okay. Like if Superman decided to use Kryptonian technology to turn criminals into chimps.
So it's, to borrow a phrase from Atomic Robo, he's an action scientist.
Yes, he's like Doc Savage. He got tired of punching out, like, Kali cultists. He decided to turn them into monkeys instead.
In this case, he's a lot more action than he's kind of like Patrick Warburton playing.
Man, I imagine his introduction in like a Warren Ellis comic. He's like sitting in a room, kind of like an aviary, but it's filled with like bonobo chimps.
That's awesome. Okay.
And they're like swinging from the rafters and just screeching in their high chimpy voices.
Would it be cool?
Would you like a drink, or would you like me to turn you into a chimp first?
Would it be cool if you turned people into parrots?
That'd be kind of cool, too.
Because parrots are just funny.
I don't know, man. Chimps are way funnier, man. Like, chimps are way funnier.
I just got back from
And it's humiliating. Like, again, you have, like, Tombstone, the classic Marvel villain.
Mm-hmm.
Kill all these kids if you... And then you punt them with the strike of 6. Pow! Because I mean, he does have all of Tombstone's awesome shooting guns powers and his regeneration, so you don't even have to feel bad about punting him as hard as you can across the room. Judo punt! There he goes.
I'm going to give his qualities 1, action scientist. 2, has trouble developing useful inventions.
Sure.
3, likes to punt.
Oh, sworn enemy, PETA. Because chimp punting is not exactly a recognized, like, good way to deal with animals.
But they're only evil animals.
People for the ethical treatment of good animals, not evil animals. So screw you, sharks. You're also on the list. Oh, man, imagine that. You're being, like, face down with a great white. No, it's a chimp. A swimming, sharp-toothed chimp in the water.
Great big teeth. Okay.
4 rows of chimp teeth.
All right, so challenge is from enemy PETA. Oh, another challenge. Has trouble developing useful. All right, so that's his problem. That's his curse. He's really bright, but he has trouble applying it in useful.
Yes, he intended to have a Devolvo ray, just to slow them down intellectually, but it fully turns them into chimps.
Okay, here's the problem we got with this guy being a scientist.
Does intellect just do? Dude, that's who invents a chimp ray. He's got a birthright. He found all his gadgets. He doesn't know how to build anything.
All right, so let's take that quality genius out of there and let's
No, here's what he is. He's like Dr. Venture.
Mm-hmm.
He has all this cool 60s gear, and he's fighting crime, but he's not very smart at all.
He's a progeny of a famous action scientist.
Exactly right. Dr. Moreau.
All right. And so I'll take off action scientist, progeny of famous.
Buddy Moreau is who he is.
Oh, that works.
Buddy Moreau. Hey, man, your dad was really important, but why do you still have that gun? Dude, it's the best. I could turn anyone into a chimp. My butler. I have a chimp butler. That guy's a real guy. He's not a chimp. Oh, look at him. He's a chimp. That doesn't seem right. What, aren't you like his ward? Didn't he raise you because your parents were tragically killed by a supervillain? Yeah, but he's way cooler as a chimp.
Why do we make science his specialty if he is?
Because it's funny. He thinks it is. He's really terrible at it.
So I can't
make the best difference of what I do, and what I do is turn people into chimps.
Okay, well, maybe he's a... Okay, that's... Fuck it, we'll go with that.
I can't need to draw this guy! Oh, my God! Okay. Buddy Moreau.
Did we talk through the rest of his character, Jen, and we're done now? Because it kind of seems like we did.
Somebody has to come up with a determination.
Okay.
It's based on 6 minus the number of powers and the number of stats he has.
Okay, 6 minus the number of powers he's... Wait, it's the value of all your powers, right?
Yep.
Look it up.
No, yeah. No, it's the number of powers, not the value of your powers.
Okay.
I don't believe that I am, because I just recently did this.
Subtract the hero's number of powers from 6 to get the hero's starting determination with a minimum value of 1. Okay, so I have 3 powers, was it, or 4?
4.
I have 4. So starting determination of dose 2. And that's Buddy Moreau, dimwitted muscle.
Son of a scientist.
Son of a famous action scientist. Wow, I kind of want to play this guy now. Okay, so that's one character. You want to do another one, Dan?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay. Do you want to do one this time, or you want me to do
another? Sure. All right, you look at the book and I'll roll.
Okay, all right.
Give me a sec here. Man, that guy's awesome. I would do a whole comic about Buddy Moreau. Chimp scientist.
Chimp fancier. Oh, that's quality.
Chimp fancier.
That's bad.
Why do you have that gun always set to chimp? It's the only setting I read.
It broke there. You used to be able to turn you into any kind of animal.
If you use something long enough, the button will just spit because it's in that position. Oh, that's too good.
Well, hey, let's keep this fast. You want me to roll if you're looking things up?
Oh, I got it. Okay, you look at the page, I'll roll the 2 dice.
Okay.
First 2 by 6 for my origin, I got a total of 4.
Okay. Hang on, let me go here to origin. You got a total of 4. You're trained.
Yes. Okay. And then next, we roll my power levels for everything, correct?
We could, or we could do the abilities. I mean, yeah.
The abilities. Okay, yeah. So 2d6 for my first one, which is, it's prowess.
Prowess is your first one.
I got an 8.
Oh, you're going to have a 5 then for prowess.
Okay, and then an 11.
That gives you a 7 for coordination.
A 6.
That gives you a 4.
Another 6.
Okay, that 4 was going to be for strength. Another 6 gives you another 4 for intellect.
And, another 11, 6 and a 5.
So that's a 7 for awareness.
Last and one, 10.
Willpower with 10 gives you a 6.
I'm the GD Batman over here.
Yeah, it looks like you are, actually.
All right, okay.
Okay, so that's your abilities. Now we get to roll powers. Oh, wait, did you rolled origin, you were trained. Okay, so
yep.
Powers.
Mm-hmm. Now, trained, I get 1 less power, but I get to add +2 to one of my stats, right?
Let's just verify that. I believe so. The hero is a highly skilled human. Any powers actually come from superior training or specialized equipment. Character gains 3 bonus specialties, but 2. So you get 3 bonus specialties and 2 fewer powers, and you might have no powers at all.
Okay. All right. Number of powers.
Mm-hmm.
I rolled a 9.
Okay. That gives you 4 powers.
So I have 2 powers.
You have 2 powers.
Okay. My first power type is a 5 and a 5 for a 10.
Okay, that's going to be offensive.
I'm sorry.
Offensive? Yeah, you're hilarious.
It's going to be offensive, as offensive as Kevin Smith peeing on himself.
No.
Or Dr. Chimpo. Oh, man, could you imagine how much poop gets flung around his house? Like, just every day.
A lot. A lot.
Oh, man, how many Jehovah's Witness chimps do you think he has in his basement? Bing bong. We've got the watcher. Do you believe in evolution now, monkey? Like, toss him in the basement.
Okay, Dan, so roll a 1d6 for me.
Okay, 2d6.
Roll 2d6 first. And then
yep, a 2.
Okay, that's good. Okay, what's the next one?
And then a 1.
Affliction.
All right. Blindness. I'll have smoke bombs. I won't roll on the little list. I'll just pick blindness.
Okay. All right, cool.
And then the next one will be 6.
Okay. That's going to give you control power.
Okay. And then that'll be a 1 and a 6.
That gives you alteration ray.
Let's reroll that.
Okay.
A 2 and a 6.
I'm sorry, Dan. It's still alteration ray.
Is it?
Yeah.
A 6 and a 6, then.
A 6 and a 6 will give
you... I'm rolling these, by the way.
Okay. That's actually wizardry.
Wizardry. Sweet.
So you are the GD Batman. That's your utility.
Yeah, my utility belt. Awesome. Okay.
Right, now I got to roll for power levels on that. So
power levels for affliction. Actually, affliction, I'm going to choose disorientation rather than blindness.
Okay.
I disorient people.
Okay.
The first one I rolled is a 7.
Okay. We're going for level determination, right?
Yep.
Okay, so... actually, it's a full 36 roll on that one.
Yeah, the total was 7.
Oh, sorry. And your level is 5.
Okay. And then for the utility belt, I rolled a 6.
And that's going to be a 4.
Okay.
So, you really do feel like the Batman over there. Okay.
Heck yeah, man.
Specialties. Number of specialties. And you get plus 3.
Number of specialities.
Mm-hmm.
Give me just a sec here. Sorry, my interwebs are having problems. So that's a 10 total.
Okay. So that's going to be 3 specialties, and you get plus 3 more, so that's 6. Or you can double or triple up on some of those if you want.
Okay. I'm going to have engineering.
Okay.
At the master level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have physics.
Mm-hmm.
At expert, so okay. That's 5. And then psychology at 1.
Okay. Okay. So, and that's specialties. So now we're going to do stamina, which is just your strength and willpower.
Yep.
And let's talk about background for this guy.
Okay. This guy is, he was originally trained by the government to be, like, a super secret spy guy, but, like Jason Bourne, he gets conked on the head and wakes up with amnesia,
mm-hmm.
Finding himself in an abandoned pinball warehouse. He begins to cobble together a suit and all this other stuff and becomes a hero. Seeing that, basically the first thing he sees on the news is that there's a villain attacking. He's like, I must be a hero. I can't remember. So he fashions together weapons and gear out of all this pinball equipment. And his name is Pinball.
Simple, direct, okay.
Yep. And he has like all kinds of like tools for repairing pinball machines, but he can use them in awesome ways.
Okay, cool. So what kind of qualities you got?
Qualities, catchphrase,
tilt,
that works.
I'm a little less enthusiastic about that, Dan.
No, that's good. I like that one. In fact, I was trying to think of the word, and you stole it from my mind, you chimp. I'm still dazzled by the idea of a chimp gun. I still want a chimp gun right now.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the magic of icons. Okay, so obviously his challenge is he's amnesic. Doesn't know who he is. Doesn't know his background.
Doesn't know who he is. Probably hunted as well.
Hunted because the government agency wants him.
Just looking for him, yeah.
Probably a big investment in him.
Yep.
Other qualities, inspired by television heroes. Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of fun if he was modeling himself after, like, 1960s Batman or Michael Knight and that writer.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So we should have at least two qualities and two challenges, right? Or was it three?
At least two challenges and at least one quality.
Okay. I'd say we've got the bare minimum. Then you want to do some more?
No, I'll do also do epithet. Maybe not. I don't know. I'll have to think of something else. But yeah, let's leave it at that.
Okay. Cool. Cool. So I'd say I got two characters created. And boy, I let's tell listeners at home, what was your stamina on that guy?
10.
10.
No, wait. Is it? I don't know. What were my willpower and strength?
I thought you were writing it down, Dan. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I believe my willpower was a 6 and my strength was a 6, so 12.
Okay.
And yeah. And with the two powers that I have, and all of, like, I basically have a determination of 1 because I have more than 3 powers that are over 7 or over 6. So, yeah, pinball.
Oh, cool, cool. All right. Well, hey, folks, that's the Banff podcast for today. Anything else we'll talk about, Dan?
Well, there's one more thing we have to talk about, but it's not going to be on this podcast. Listeners, you pay attention. Next time you hear me on a podcast, there's going to be a big old cool announcement coming out. I mean, this thing is blockbuster huge.
It's bigger than Dan's mom.
Yeah, my mom's pretty big. I need a chimp ray. Eating all my snacks.
All right, folks, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. Hey, Dan, do you have a good sign-off for the Vigilant, for the, sorry, blah. Do you have a good sign-off for the Banff podcast? Because I've been at a lot of loss for one.
For the Banff podcast? Sure. No, I don't. I mean, I was going to say Excelsior. Take it.
All right, well,
I'll think of something.
Work on that for next time. All right, folks.
He's thinking of something. Chimps ahoy is what we're going to say this time. How do we change it every week? We come up with something new every time.
That would be awesome. That would be so awesome. All right, folks.
Thanks. It's Chimps ahoy.
Do it like Rutger Hauer.
Chimps ahoy.
Do it like George Lucas.
Chimps ahoy. I think he already has a chimp gun. To anyone who tells him he can't put stupid shit in his movie,
yeah.
It's probably better if you don't put a giant spaceship in a Indiana Jones. Oh, really? I want to show you this gun I have. You have to stay now, buddy.
That's why he has that big ranch in Wyoming for all the chimps.
It's like shit because you're a chimp.
Well, yeah, it's sign language. So, all right, folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.